morning. Buenos días. Well, we continue on this powerful sermon series on the book of Nehemiah, and my hope is that we are growing together, that we are learning new principles that we can apply to our lives today. So let's go to Nehemiah 6, 1 to 9. We're only going to read a few verses, so we do it together. Can you please stand and let's honor the word of God and read the word of God together. When the word came, the rest of our enemies that I have rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it. Though the name, I had not set the doors, the gates. Sanballat, Geshem, sent me his message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. I am carrying a great project and cannot go down. Why should your work stop while I live and go down for you? Four times the same message. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is, can you sit down? So this is the teaching that I hope the church will receive as we go through this sermon series. So Nehemiah was called by God. He's a man of God, and he had this revelation, this impartation in his spirit that he needed to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. So he asked the king for permission to go, and the Holy Spirit was grieving him about the situation in Israel. Then now in chapter 6, we're going to continue going deeper in this message on how he did this assignment. And the central message is clear. Stay focused on God's vision for your life, and your plans and your process will lead you to it. By refusing to let distractions pull you away from your purpose. Just as Nehemiah faced critical moments when the walls were nearly complete, we too face our greatest opposition when we are closest to a breakthrough. In other words, every time that God calls us to do something great, there is always opposition. God's vision never lacks opposition. So if you know that if God is giving you a vision, like a personal vision or a vision for the church, you need to know that you're going to have opposition. And not only that, at the same time, we believe that God is going to bless us and give us the resources we need, because he's the one who called us. He's the one giving us the vision. So the question here is, how committed are we to rebuilding St. John? So Nehemiah was very committed to it. Then the people he called to join him in this powerful effort also were committed. And now we are in the process of rebuilding St. John Community Church, reorganizing the church, defining the steps in the process as we move forward to grow back the church, to grow not only in numbers, but more importantly, growing in discipleship. We need more disciples. It's not about having more numbers or more people on the pews. This is not a vision for attraction. Come, 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 come and fill the church. This is a disciple-making vision, which means that it's more important to have 10 disciples than to have 100 people who are not committed to Christ. Do you receive that? Because that's the challenge. That's the challenge. And my hope is that when we get to heaven, God is not going to ask us for our Sunday attendance. He will not. He will not. He will ask you, how many disciples did you make? Because that's the assignment. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the assignment. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. So God is calling us to actually commit and build the church. My question is, are we committed? Yes. Are we committed? Yes. Okay, then let's do it, and let's bring the power of God to this church like never before. Now, how we're going to do this? What can we learn from Nehemiah? So number one, let's understand this first principle. Refusing to compromise with evil. There is now this tendency in the church to compromise with evil. And refusing to compromise is a principle that we learn from Nehemiah's response as he became a leader, first building the wall and then becoming the governor of the city. He says, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. When he was asked to go and talk and have conversations with the opposition, he said, no, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. So his resolute answer demonstrated three things. Clarity of purpose. He knew where he needed to be and he knew what the assignment was. Unwavering commitment. He didn't want to stop of doing God's will, so he kept pressing forward. Recognition that this work had eternal significance. In other words, what I'm doing right now is natural, but the work that I'm doing will impact not only this life, but the next life, knowing that the things that we cannot see are eternal and everything else is temporary. And when we understand that, now you can commit and have a determination to maintain your focus and do not deviate from it. And when you do that, God will bless us like never before. Now, the challenge that we have is when we face evil, now we have to really take a stand and do not compromise with evil. That's a challenge that we have in the Western church in America, where we really emphasize, overemphasize grace. God is grace. God is love. And then we water down truth. And the moment you do that, now people are too sensible. Every time you preach the gospel or every time you read anything in the Bible is the word of God. How many of you believe that? So if the Bible is the word of God, the truth of the Bible will challenge us to change, will challenge us to transformation. And the moment you hear the truth, now you are too sensible. You get angry, that's not for me, and all of that. Why? Because we stop hearing the truth. So what we need to do now is to really come back to it. From Genesis to Revelation, not one thing or the other thing, from Genesis to Revelation, have a posture of welcoming the truth in our life. That's true discipleship. The moment we do that, we stop offending the cross, and now we can embrace the truth of the gospel for transformation and share that with other people. That's what God is calling us to do. We need to stop watering down the truth, and then God will show up like never before. And if we do that, we're going to start refusing to compromise with evil. And by the way, you need to know that when we call something sinful, it's not because the pastor believes it's sinful or because you believe it's sinful. When we call something sinful, it's because God is the one calling it, not us. Now, everything that is evil is not sinful, right? In other words, many things God have not said, this is sinful. But the way you walk and the way you approach things sometimes are evil, and evil always leads to sin. Now, what is sinful? Sinful is what God says is sinful. You have the Ten Commandments. You have the Beatitudes. You have all these passages in the prophets from Genesis to up to Revelation. And you have that. That's what is sinful there. But some things are evil, just evil. God doesn't say prescriptive, this is sinful, but you know that if you do it, it's going to lead you to that path. For example, if I got a text from another woman that I don't know, and I get the text and I read it, is that evil? Is that sinful? Well, it's not sinful because the Bible doesn't say you should not get a text for a woman that you don't know. It doesn't say that, but you know it's evil because if you continue that path, guess what? Most likely, I'm going to fall in adultery. Does that make sense? So we have to be really sensitive to what is evil, not only to what is sinful. We are very good at having a Bible in one hand and a rock in the other because we know all the commandments, we know all the rules, and we're ready to punch people with a rock with the rules. Now, we are not as ready to deal with evil. And that's why we are trapped, and we don't see the traps of the enemy when he set the traps for us. But my hope is that we wake up and start seeing it. This is what the word says. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3. Wow. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. So The first rule when you fall into a pit, do you know what is the first rule when you fall into a pit? Stop digging. Okay? So when you make a mistake, you repent and you back up. Okay? Stop justifying. You start justifying, not receiving, not confessing, hiding. You are digging, you are digging, you are digging, you are digging. What God is asking you to do is, when you fall into a pit, turn around, get out of it. And then he says, whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. And here, when Nehemiah was sharing the story about the wall, he says, I built the wall to the point that there is no gap in it. In other words, when you build around you, when God builds the word of God, holiness, obedience, that creates an invisible wall around you. And the moment you start intentionally using your free will against yourself, and you begin to break the wall, you will be bitten by the snake. In other words, the enemy will use your desires, your unconquered desires, your fleshy desires, to really turn your purpose and turn God's will against yourself. And instead of grace, we are going to get judgment. And I had before explained to you many, many times that grace makes no sense without judgment. The reason we have grace is because what? We have what? Judgment. There is a final judgment. That's why we need grace. Grace will take us out of judgment. That's why we need grace. But we cannot forget that God is also truth and he's going to challenge us. Here's what Nehemiah's second principle is. Discerning deception. So Nehemiah was facing deception all the way. People were trying to convince him that God has been speaking to them, that what he was doing was not the will of God. And the moment we start understanding that we have to be very smart and very be alert with evil and the way people try to present evil to us, this is what Jesus taught us in Matthew 10, 16. I am sending you out like sheep among what? I'm sending you out. In other words, discipleship is all about sending you out, not you coming to the church and worship. It's sending you out. Jesus is always sending us out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as what? And as innocent. Wow. So, in other words, we have to be alert. We have to be asking God for discernment, asking the Holy Spirit to come and give us discernment and clarity to see everything around us. See beyond what we see. See beyond situations. See beyond perceptions. See beyond people's smiles. Because sometimes people smile at you and then they go around and they say actually what they really believe about you. And they say, I love you. And then with the same mouth that they say, I love you, in the same mouth that in secret, they plot against you. Nehemiah experienced that, and we're going to experience that too. If you are following God's vision for the church, if you are following God's vision for your family, if you are following God's vision for yourself, you are going to experience opposition. And you have to be ready for it. And God will prepare us for it. Now, Nehemiah has this discernment to recognize false prophecy. When you go to chapter 6, verse 6 and 8, and we read some of it, and then 12 and 13, there is an event there that happened that really showed how Nehemiah was in tune with the Spirit. When Sanballat and Tobias and Geshem asked him, come, let us talk. Let's go and talk and have this conversation about how you are going to create a revolt instead of building the wall. Nehemiah said, nothing like that. What you are saying, nothing like what you are saying is happening. And then he says, I pray what? Now, I pray now, strengthen what? You don't have an idea how many times I have to pray that prayer during last year. Because this is what happened. People have a tendency to amplify things, say things that you didn't do, or even put words in your mouth that you didn't say. Do you have people like that in your life? They twist everything, they amplify what you say, and then they put words in your mouth. Now, we need to learn from Nehemiah what to do when that happens, And it's not defending yourself, it's going back to the secret place and start praying, God, strengthen my hands. God, give me wisdom to listen. God, give me the patience not to respond in anger, but to allow the Holy Spirit to show up and open people's eyes and convince people. Because guess what? I am not God. You are not God. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can bring conviction to the heart. No one else can do that. In the moment you realize that, we have to die to our flesh. Because when people accuse you from something you didn't do, the only thing you need to do is stay quiet, go to the secret place. That's the highest revelation, that you are in alignment with God. Don't defend yourself. If people say to you, you are a liar. No, I'm not a liar. Calm down. Calm down. If you know that you are not, okay. Imagine that. Go to a secret place and pray. God, strengthen my hands. People think I'm a liar. You know I'm not. That's it. That's it. Don't defend yourself. Don't fight. Don't fight, because that's what the enemy wants. Get you out of your center. And the moment you start allowing frustration and anger take over, now you're walking away from the will of God. So you have to really have self-control in order to accomplish what God wants us to do. Then Nehemiah says in verse 12 and 13, I realized that God had not sent him. But then he said, he prophesied against me because of what? Because he has been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. And then they would give me what? Wow. In other words, people come to you and says, this is what God says. This is what the Holy Spirit says. I have a dream about you, and God says this. Marry me, okay? I'm waiting for God to say that to me too. Right? Because some people show up and says, you are the one. God told me. Okay, well, now God needs to say the same thing to the other person. Because sometimes people say, oh, God says that. Then you go, no way, Jose. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have a communication with God? So whatever he says to other people, believe me that if we are talking to the same guy, we're going to hear the same thing. So the moment you need to realize, have discernment, that not everything that people say in the name of Jesus is true. And having the discernment to, when you hear a sermon, discern what is right and what is wrong, is also your responsibility, because you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot go with everything I say. Do you have a Bible? You're supposed to read your Bible and discern if what I'm saying is true or not. If it's not, forget the Cuban. But if it is, my friends, then we are all held accountable by the same standard, the word of God. And Nehemiah understand that. But we know that these people use discredit as a way to manipulate you and control us. Now, here's the question. How can we handle the Sanballats and the Tobias and the Geshems in our life? We all have these people in our lives. These spirits are still ramping in the 21st century. The question is, can we learn from Nehemiah? Can we learn from Nehemiah how to deal with these people? And if you do, you're going to be a solid center believer who can accomplish God's dream and purpose. Here is what I'm going to say to you. God gave Nehemiah a vision. And the vision of Nehemiah, when he was standing by the king, he saw the wall finished and the glory of God and everything done. Israel rejoicing. Israel's not in shame anymore. By the way, we need to pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. Please, pray for Israel. And I have news for you. The Bible says nothing about Cuba. But the Bible talks about Israel. Okay? And because the fact is that if Israel disappears from the earth, then the Bible is not true. Then God is not real. Do you understand that? Because all the promises is that Israel will be restored and a new Jerusalem will come down from heaven. For if you don't like the Jerusalem now, guess what? You're not going to be part of the new one either. So we need to pray for Israel. So the moment we understand this, we have these people in our life. So Nehemiah had this vision of the wall finished. But here, God is so smart. How many of you know that God is smart? He's wise. Yes? So here's what he does. So you don't get don't tell me that, don't tell God that I didn't say this to you. I said it to you, so you are awake and you understand how he works. Here is the trick. He shows you the vision. What is the vision? A glimpse of your end. So Nehemiah saw the walls finished, done. Israel rejoicing, no shame, awesome. Joseph, remember Joseph? He saw him a throne. He was ruling. He was feeding his brothers. He was doing awesome. So that's the vision. That's the end. Now, between the end and where we are, where we stand, that's called the plan. Here is the trick. God will never show you the plan. He will only show you the destination, because he knows that if he shows you the plan, you will quit. Hello. Do you think that Joseph knew, if Joseph knew that he would have to go through the pit and through prison to get to the throne, he would say no. If Nehemiah knew that he has to face all this opposition with all these people before he builds the wall, he would say no. If you knew that the thing that God is calling you to do, you will face opposition and hardship, you will say no. So God is so smart that he keeps his plan secret. He only shows you the vision. Why? Because the plan is the process to develop you so you become the person who can handle the vision. And he will do whatever it takes. So whatever is going on today in your life, if you lost a house or you lost a job or you lost a spouse or you lost a child, whatever it is part of the plan. So don't panic. God is with you. He's developing us to become the person that can handle the vision and the plan that God has for us. So, if we're going to face opposition, we better learn how to deal with it. Here it is. Number one, what are the characteristics of a person with a heart of at war? So these people, like Sanballat and Tobias, the problem, and I've been sharing that with you since day one, is what? The heart. So you either have a heart at peace or you either have a heart at war. When your heart is at war, nothing can satisfy you. You will fight with everything and anyone. It doesn't care about what it is. It can be about milk. It can be about your job. Your heart is at war. You have no peace, and you're going to make sure and you're going to ensure that no one else has peace. It's like sometimes you cannot sleep and you look down and you see your spouse sleeping. You say, right? Because how can he be sleeping? You know what I'm saying? How can she be sleeping? Right? So that's the word. Your heart is at war. You are the one who needs peace. So if God woke you up at 3 a.m. in the morning, get up and start praying and stop looking at your spouse. It's your heart that God wants to change. Here it is. What are the characteristics? Number one, this is the characteristic of this spirit, Sanballat, Tobias, and all these people. Lack of inner peace and constantly what? Discredit others while praising themselves. So you know people like this? Again, I'm telling you, if names are coming to mind, blame the Holy Spirit. I'm not the one naming anyone here. If names are coming to mind as I share this, hear the Holy Spirit. Lacks this inner peace, discredit. So one of these ways that you handle this, you know that these people discredit others and they praise themselves. So it's always about them, and you are the evil person. You are the one doing bad. Especially when they have a season with you where they used to praise you. And now, because of conflict, you are the most evil person on earth. Do you know people like that? So we need to understand that that's part of the enemy's attacks towards people with vision, people who are obeying God, discredit. So when people discredit you, what are you going to do? Nothing. Do you know what God thinks about you? Do you know what God says about you? You need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what God says about you. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to show you how God sees you. So now I am who I am, not because of what you say I am. I am who I am because of what God says I am. And because of that, you can discredit me all day, and I don't care. I don't care. Why? Because I go to the secret place and start hearing God's words saying, you are my son, you are my child, I love you, I created you. And then all your words, all human words, disappears. That's the principle. People will discredit you. Number two, these people, what they do? Focus on what? Changing others rather than self-improvement. These are the people who say, my wife needs to do better, or my husband needs to do better. I'm going to change him. He needs to stop doing this. He needs to stop doing that. He needs to start doing this. He needs to stop doing that, blah, blah, blah. And usually I say, okay, and what are you doing? Because you cannot change other people. I'm telling you, only God can change people. If you are 50 years old, by now you know that you cannot change people, okay? So in other words, you can only change self. You can only can ask God to change you. So if you want to see change, you have to become the change. The moment you release your husband, your spouse, your friends, your boss, your colleague from this burden of changing for you, you're going to be at peace. And now you use that time and that energy to focus on whom? Yourself, my friend. And now you're free. Now you move from a heart of war to a heart of peace. You need to let go and become the change you want to see. In this church, no one says hi. Guess what? You need to start saying hi. If you do that and you say, hey, good morning, especially to new people, good morning, guess what? Before you know it, people will start doing it too. Right? Become the change you want to see. Be more loving, more open, more understanding, more listen. Okay, then you do it. People will do it after you. Number three, destroy relationships and creates conflict. So when you know this, these spirits, these people are always seeking something to create a conflict and break the relationship. Some people show up in your life and they are builders. Some people show up in your life and they destroy everything. Like if you have friends for years, you have been friends with a person and then this third person show up and now the friendship is broken. And you need to ask yourself, how did that happen? Okay, some people show up and start sowing seeds of doubts and anger and you now are now trusting them instead of trusting your friends. Now you have conflicts. Now you have these challenges. And now you have no friends. Some people, when they get married, some spouses isolate their wife or isolate their husband from all friends. He used to have many friends, and now he's been married for 10 years and have no friends. Why? Because sometimes in marriage, you have this control where the person is so empty that wants his spouse to fill the emptiness when only God can fill the emptiness. So you don't release him, you don't release her to have friends and have a life. The only way you can have a life is if you have peace. That's why you need me time. I need time as a father, yes. I need time as a husband, yes. I need time as a friend, as a father, yes. But I also need me time, time with myself. And if you do that, you're going to do awesome. You're going to do awesome. So these people destroy relationships. Wherever they go, they sow seed of doubt, they anger and frustration, and they destroy relationships. Number four, resist authority in the divine purpose of God's vision in the world. So in other words, when people with this opposition, they resist authority, not only the authority of God, the authority of the world, the authority of the church, the authority of the government, the authority of your job, of your boss in your job, in the marketplace, wherever you go, this resistance to authority in God's purpose and divine purpose for your life. You have the resistance, and now God cannot really bless you because God is the one establishing authority on earth. And in the moment you start receiving authority, you're going to be blessed. And it starts when you are a little child. Who is the first line of authority when you are a child? Your parents, right? So if you don't respect your parents and you challenge your parents, now what happened? Now you don't respect authority. So now God has to bring another layer of authority because you don't respect that one. Then you get to a school and now you have a teacher. Guess what? You don't respect the teacher either. And then the teacher says, hey, you need to behave. Sit down. No, I'm going to sit down. Let's go to the principal. office. And now you go to the principal office, another layer of authority. And guess what? You don't care either about the principal. Who is the principal? He's a good man. He's a man. He's not going to tell me what to do. Okay, good. Now the layer after that, now you go to the streets, you start doing the same thing. You go to work. And now God has to bring what? The police. Because you don't stop, right? Then the police come and get you. Where? To the judge, right? And the judge, who is another authority over you, will say, you need to start behaving. You need to stop doing this. This is what I expect from you, or you're going to jail. I'm not going to do anything. Guess what? You go to jail. Now you have a jailer, an authority over you, and more restriction. Does that make sense? At some point, you have to stop. At some point, you have to stop. So if you say yes to mama and yes to daddy, see how many things you are avoiding. Easy. Let's pray. Because if not, you're not going to come back next Sunday. I hope that you come back next Sunday. This is getting. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and bless us. Can you pray with me and bow your heads? Let's ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom on how to come before his throne. We need to learn how to say no. We need to learn to resist all these spirits so we can get to our destination. Sovereign Lord, grant us discernment to recognize distraction and the courage to stay focused on your calling and your vision. Like Nehemiah, help us to be people who cannot be pulled away from the great work you are giving us. Keep our hearts pure, our vision clear, and our resolve strong. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let's stand and worship, church.
thankful for your scars. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we believe with all our heart that God is calling us to move forward. So we continue inviting every person, especially those who have been members of St. John for years, to take the next step and become covenant partners. If you want to do that, please let me know, send me an email, notify me so we can receive you any Sunday. So we don't have to plan it, I just need to know. And then following Sunday is a short ceremony. We just read the commitment on the slide and go to the cross, write your name, remember your baptism, and kabunga, you are a covenant member, right? Because we are in covenant with God. This is just a formality in order to show and testify to the whole congregation, I am part of this. Does that make sense? That's it. It's not that we don't doubt who you are, we don't doubt your intentions. This is just a testimony. That's what God says. Give witness before many, many people what you are doing for the Lord. That's First and Second Timothy. So we want to do that, and I want to encourage the church. And here is what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. For St. John and for the church in America, it's time to arise. It's time to commit. It's time to really declare before the world that you stand with Jesus. That's it. This is the season we are in, and the church has been slumber, and we need to wake up. We need to wake up. There's no time to be wasted. This is the time, this is the season that God is calling on us to define ourselves. And the more we do that, more opposition will come, but also peace and grace. And God will show himself like never before. The enemy is aggressive right now. Darkness is aggressive right now. But Jesus is also showing himself in mighty ways like never before. You are going to experience God like never before. The heavens are open like never before. If you align yourself with God, in his throne, in your heart, you're going to see things that never been seen before in the life of the church. Why? Because the second coming of Jesus is near. We are closer than when we first believe. I'm telling you, church. That's why I challenge you every Sunday. So my hope is that when you leave this place, there is a conviction in your heart, there is a burden in your heart to become a disciple, and not only a member or a believer, but a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray to send you off. May the God who gave Nehemiah discernment grant you wisdom to recognize his voice. May he who empowered the completion of Jerusalem's walls strengthen you to finish his work. Go forth in confidence, knowing that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen. God bless you.